You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Welcome back to the Best Practices Show. My name is Kirk Barron, and I am your host. And I am so glad you're here at the podcast, because we take a look at the best business practice and the best dental practices all over. And if you're joining us today, you're going to see an amazing rock star in this great profession who is really a key piece of leading the charge for such an important conversation called Airway in Dentistry, Tracy Wynn, and you're going to love this. So do me a favor, just stick around because you're going to absolutely enjoy this. Now, I always like to do this whenever we start the podcast because Tracy, I got a chance to meet you through the COVID conference last year and really get to know you. And I'm like, wow, she's amazing. And while we were doing this, because I was panicking as well as a lot of other people when we couldn't do anything. So a lot of young dentists, dental students came into the community. And some of you sent me emails and you're like, what is this podcast thing? So if you're finding yourself here for the first time at the podcast, and it's crazy because, Tracy, I was telling you, we do all these videos. You guys never watch the videos. You all consume 130,000 downloads of the audios. Like, I don't get it, but I love it. So keep doing it. So if you're downloading a podcast right now and you're listening on Spotify or Stitcher or wherever, do me a favor. Just go down to that subscribe button. See that button right there? Just click it, because I want you to subscribe and keep showing up, because you're going to see every single week, I'm going to bring you a brand new superstar in dentistry and bring you some best practices in dentistry. Just give you some things to think about. And I don't want you to miss out. So make sure you keep showing up. And then also, if you haven't joined our private Facebook group, which is Best Practices Powered by ACT Dental, join us over there, where there's over 13,000 of you in there. And it's just a great community of people trying to help each other and answer great questions, share information and best practices. And then lastly, some people are still asking, like, what do you do? We are a practice coaching company. So if you're a dentist and you own your own practice and you're thinking, gosh, it could be just a little bit better, and I'm kind of like burned out or something like that, give us a call or show up at actdental.com. We got a team of coaches here that'll listen to you and see if we can create a plan where you just enjoy going to work. You don't have to work crazy hours. You don't have to sign up for every PPO under the planet. You could do it your own way. That's the coolest thing about this profession. There's no rules. If you want to practice and have a great life, you can have it. Just got to figure out how to do it. So join us over there. Now, another thing you're going to see over there is we've got great resources and great educators. And one of them is a great educator by the name of Dr. Tracy Wynn. Now, Tracy, you know, I had heard your name, you know, I kind of knew who you were. And then we brought you in and Bill Robbins was like, holy moly, like, she's brilliant. And you were so kind to just help us and provide some great information. And as I've, you know, done my study on you and I've watched you, like, you're doing an amazing program coming up for the AACD and some other great stuff. But I want people to know who you are. If they've never heard of you, who are you? What do you do? Where do you practice? Like, let's start there before we get into this important topic.
So I practice in Northern Virginia, which is right outside of DC. It's a family-based practice, heavy restorative. My bread and butter is really restorative dentistry. And how I kind of got into this was I was more into the cosmetic side of it. So it was more of just the AACD. Then I jumped onto COIS. Recently, probably about like 5 years ago, I met Jeff Rouse and he talked to me a little bit about airway. So before Jeff, I was not really into sleep dentistry. One of the reasons why I was not into sleep dentistry was because a lot of my patients in oral appliances had a lot of dental changes. And so I kind of wasn't really happy about that. And I was like, you know, I really don't want to manage them. But when I heard Jeff speak, he put a really nice spin on it and talked about the importance of dentistry. And then it kind of talked a lot about kids. So then I just had my aha moment after listening to him speak. So I took that message back home and I met a pediatric sleep center. And then I just developed this local airway group of physicians, ENTs, and dentists. And from that point on, this is where I am. All I do is talk about airway management for children and adults. I started it also on my online too. So because this topic is so new and the research is evolving, I made my Facebook page public. And then I just started posting articles after articles, my little opinions, almost like my little blogs. And that's how I got known. Yeah. You know, so I mean, it's funny because like I know all these people via Facebook. They're like, how do you know? I was like, I don't know. I know them all via Facebook and Instagram. So, but it's a really rewarding journey. Like, I mean, I feel like there's so much work that needs to be done. And I feel like the dental community, we're going in a really good direction. We just got to keep the momentum going, keep educating our peers, and because we definitely do deserve a seat at the table. We're probably equally as important as the sleep physicians when it comes to, you know, children and adults and managing this disease.
Yeah. So, and there's no question when you came out, you're like, oh my gosh. Number one, you're an incredible educator. Number two, just how you put it together, you were simplifying a lot of concepts that are very complex for people when it comes to this. But let's go here too, Tracy. Can I ask you this? I always like to start with the why before the how, because today we're going to be talking a little bit. Yeah. Why is this so big of a conversation, not only for the United States, but also for this great profession? What's the why behind this?
It's interesting because what's going on right now with all these diseases and especially with children, all the neurocognitive issues, the ADHD. And when I kind of realized that, wow, could this all be airway issues? And who's the best person to manage the face? I mean, is a dentist. And so I didn't understand why we're not equally as important as a sleep physician. The first person that should get a referral, a child should get a referral, is to the dentist. So that's my why. You know, when I see a lot of these adults, and you start asking about their story, you start to you kind of paint the picture of this adult as a child and how this adult kind of got missed. So then when you see these kids, then you kind of flash back at your adult. You're like, well, if I don't intervene, this is what your trajectory is going to be like, you know? So I think the profession that has the most influence in change is dentistry. I mean, medicine's really all about management. I mean, I had a 5-year-old on a CPAP. And I talked to the physician. I was like, okay, you know, like, what's the end game of this? You know, what do I need to do to get this child off a CPAP? And the sleep physician said, what do you mean? I was like, well, what do you mean you don't understand what I mean? I was like, what is the end game? Like, and then it, like, for them, they didn't even understand that, because their medicine is about management. And so as dentistry, we are, and this is probably why we're so hard on ourselves, we're about fixing everything. You know, cavities has to be completely gone. Our margins have to be perfect. Everything has to be perfect. And you have to find that balance. And so I was like, no, we have to have an end game, and this is what we can do. And then when we got her eventually off the CPAP, then they started like, oh, I get it. And I think what the medical community needs to understand, they need to understand what we do. And it's just, we just have to kind of work together. I think a lot of these diseases that you're seeing in kids, I mean, I don't know if they can't prevent it, but they're definitely related, right? You know?
Right. It's so powerful. I can't even imagine a five-year-old on the CPAP. Like, that doesn't, I can't even put those two things together.
And that's the crazy, because dentists people don't even know that. I mean, like, the kids that are coming in my office, I mean, the crazy thing is some of these physicians, they don't know who to go to. And that's probably the saddest thing, is that we're here, but they don't know that we're here.
Right.
And, you know, that's why I post these cases and I'm like, look, this is what's going on. This is what I'm seeing. But yeah, I mean, so my hope is that the community, our community, I mean, I'm a huge cheerleader for dentists. I think that we need to be at that table. We need to let them know what we can do.
Yeah. And there's so many things. I mean, I love the way you educate. And as before you and I went live, I'm like, what should we call this? And you're like, well, I want to get people asking good questions. And you're putting together an amazing presentation for the AACD. We won't give away all the details.
Yeah.
But is it your hope that people start asking better questions, like, could it be airway? Is
that purpose? Yeah, 100%, 100%. And, you know, it's interesting because when I talk to a lot of dentists, most people say, well, Tracy, I don't treat kids. And I was like, well, my practice isn't 100% kids. I started as a restorative dentist. You see it in all ages. And the question you have to ask is like, yes, could it be airway? And could my dentistry impact the airway, you know, positively or negatively? So I think that's a very important conversation to have. Patients trust the dentist. I mean, they spend more time at the dentist than they do at their primary care. And we kind of connect the dots. Like, dentistry understands interdisciplinary care. I mean, we are taught to refer, you know, like if you have to refer to your specialist. So we know that we have to communicate to our specialists. The medical community doesn't do a really good job at referring out, you know. Right. So as dentists, we kind of connect all the dots. I mean, I get so many patients that are like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that my anxiety and depression could be related to my sleep. I didn't realize that my asthma can make my sleep worse. So there's so many things, that illnesses that are all connected. Right. And we just have to connect the dots. And I think the way dentistry is working is we're trying to get beyond just looking at pictures of teeth and be like, well, let's start with the medical history. What's going on? Who is this patient? I mean, your first class in treatment planning should be understanding the medical history. Right. You know, so we kind of skip that. We almost, like, as physicians, we forget the medical history and we go straight to taking pictures of teeth. So I'd like us to almost slow down. And I think that when you slow down and you get to know the patient, then you develop that trust. So then the patient, you know, it's a different relationship now.
Yeah. It's so funny because as you're talking, I mean, I've known Jeff for a long, Jeff Rouse, but that journey, I'm like, I mean, I went to the TDA, Texas Dental, and I remember it being standing room only. And yeah. I remember finally getting into the room and I'm like, he's a prosthodontist. Why the heck would he be talking about children, airway? Yeah. And then you hear his story and you're like, oh my goodness. And what he helped me understand continuously is, like, we are positioned right now. And today in the United States, which today is a Thursday, more 7 and 8 year old kids will be prescribed speed for a problem in which they'll never be able to get off of. And people just don't ask really good questions anymore. They just go, to the prescription when you can see that the kid has inflammation, the kid isn't sleeping, the kid can't focus. No one could focus under those. So this is a big, cause. It's an important one. But, and then, you know, I just finished a podcast on the mental health issue. So like, I can't see how it's not related in this big picture of things. And I feel like this is one of the most important conversations in dentistry. And here's one of my questions for you. You're so involved in so much continuing education. Is the world of CE coming together a little bit on this, a lot or not so much from your perspective?
I think it's a lot. I mean, Spear is doing an amazing job. The COIS Center, we're starting to do more things with Airway too. So I think more and more we're trying to connect the dots. So there's definitely more. People are just trying to figure out how do they implement it in their practice? What do they, you know, and I think with Airway Dentistry, it's no different than restorative dentistry. Like you're going to need your orthodontist, you're going to need your oral surgeon, you're going to need your specialist. So it's just a different way of managing it. And you're managing it from a health perspective now. It's an exciting field. I mean, I'd like to see more pediatric programs too, because I think more on screening and recognizing the signs. What we have asappathways.com, and we focus more on the kids, recognizing all the neurocognitive consequences. Because with kids, all the neurocognitive things before you see the malocclusion. So like when they come into your office for that first dental cleaning, that's so important, because like you got to recognize the sleep problems before you send them to the orthodontist. And the adult world is obviously a little bit different again, but it always goes back to just screening and understanding the signs and symptoms.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
So you get these questions, so I'm going to dish them to you. So let's say I'm a young dentist and I'm watching you, Tracy. I totally understand, but you know, I have a very busy practice. How did you even start implementing this? And I don't, you know, the question always comes up, like, I don't even know how I would implement this into a restorative practice. I mean, can I even, and really that's not your goal. Your goal is just to help people, right, in this regard. And, you know, same thing with an oral cancer screening. We're not oncologists, but
right.
Save so many lives just by knowing what to look for and having this be a standard of care in your practice. Is that how you see it in your practice?
I do. It's funny because it's a different conversation now when I have. So if I have a patient that comes in with malocclusion, like before I was just focused on like the aesthetics, you know, but now when you come from a health perspective, a perspective where you actually care about the patient's well-being and things that you can do for them, your case acceptance for your treatment skyrockets, because now the communication is, wow, this person really cares about how I feel, how I look, and my dentistry could actually improve how I feel outside of how it makes me smile and the aesthetics, but I actually can feel better. It's interesting because in 2015, I became officially fee for service. So in 2015, I got accredited by the American Academy AACD, and I thought I was like bad. I was like, yeah, I'm good. I'm going to drop all insurances because I'm accredited now. What happened was, it was such a huge eye opener is like, cosmetic dentistry wasn't there for me yet. And so I lost a lot of patients. And that was like my first low. Then I jumped into like airway management. And then it was just a different conversation. Right. Skyrocketed. I mean, like my numbers today, like last month is my best month ever since I've been practicing. And it's amazing because now the connection is different. So right. I would say for a new dentist, it's kind of like, I get it. You're trying to make them money. You're trying to pay the bills. But patients will, you want to develop a loyalty, a trust. When the patient trusts you, they will pay whatever you tell them. They will accept whatever you think that they need. Right. And that's the bottom line. And it's just develop, and for them to trust you, they have to know that you care. And to know that you care, you have to know who they are.
Right.
You know, and I mean, so that's been like kind of like my aha moment with airway management, because anytime that the patient sits down, first thing we do is like, who are you? Where have you been? How's your life been? And what's your health? Like yeah. before I even look at your mouth. And so then they kind of, it's a different relationship. So I would say for like new docs, almost like slow it down. You know, I was telling you earlier, it's like, I think in this field, what I'm finding is it's going to be, you're going to have two classes. You know, you're going to be the top or the bottom. The middle right. class, you're not going to survive.
Right.
You know,
Yeah. And then you know, that's been a conversation for a long time. In order to really do discretionary, high quality fee for service dentistry, you got to be good at something. You have to stand yeah. up for something. You know, you just can't be all things to all people or just, you know, wave in the wind type of a thing. Can you go back to that? So take us through that journey. I had never heard that. Like after you were accredited, how did you start that journey? Like, how did you take it from there to where you are? Here, you obviously had to get the team involved.
Yeah.
What about the support group around you? You know, I hear a lot of dentists, they don't have a myofunctional therapist. They don't have an interdisciplinary community. I'm sure you've heard all that.
Yeah. So I think you have it. You just haven't reached out. And I think as a GP, you know, like your specialists, they don't bite off the hand that feeds them, you know? So it's kind of like, hey, this is what I'm doing. I need your help. As long as you have a conversation with your specialist, they will support you. So what happened with the AAC, like when I got into the whole airway movement, I was like, okay, I need an orthodontist. I need an oral surgeon. And I just started reaching out. I sent out feelers. I sent out emails to my referring doctors and I said, hey guys, this is my mission. This is what I see. And I talked all about airway. I gave them a couple articles and I said, what I want to do is I want to develop a team. This is how I want to do it. And everyone was very supportive. It's definitely a lot of work because you're basically hosting study clubs now. But you just got to keep it going. So I mean, it's been an amazing journey. I think that I'm definitely like all over the place, obviously, because I feel like it's so important for dentists to get right. on this. There's so many sick kids and adults that we can do better.
Totally.
You know,
and I agree. I think
that we're not doing it. It's like you can do better. So it's funny because like even in the adult world, when, you know, like I said, I didn't jump into sleep dentistry. I didn't like sleep dentistry. I didn't like it because it was oral appliances. I was like, is this the best that I can do? Just make an oral appliance and just be like, the teeth are going to be wherever they need to be because that's where you need to be to live. And it was funny because that was what a lot of people told me. There's like, Tracy, would you rather have them dead or alive? I was like, yeah, but can they be alive with good teeth too? You know, so like my whole journey has been like, when I present this to patients with airway problems, it's like, yeah, I can make an oral appliance for you. What's going to happen is long-term use, which I want to happen, is like teeth will change. And that's okay. Now I can either help guide the teeth where they need to be, where your body needs to be, or you can be managed. But I think it's important to have that conversation now. It's like, we can't be just one-sided. You know, we have to just, hey, this is what you can do, but this is what else I can do. And you'd be so surprised how much dentistry opens up. I mean, if you look at like all of these malocclusions where I'll hear doctors say, patient refuse ortho, patient refuse this. I was like, are you sure they refused it or you just didn't know how to present it? You know? So it's a good conversation when we talk about case presentation, treatment planning. Right. I was like, did they really refuse ortho or did you just not present it right?
Yeah. Now go back to that because you're obviously involved in a lot of great continuing education. You're a teacher. Mm-hmm. what do dentists get wrong about the airway? Like, what do they consistently get wrong? You're like, no. Like, you got to get this part right. Does anything come to mind when you think of what they get wrong most?
I think the only thing that I would say is there are some people that probably overpromise, and then there's some people that just ignore the signs and symptoms. I think we should be involved. If there's obvious malocclusions that crowd the whole airway space, I mean, those are like no-brainers for us. Create more room for the tongue. There's dentistry there. There's either ortho. Open up more space. There's a constricted envelope. There's no room for the tongue. Open it up. Put veneers. But open up space for no minimal prep veneers. I mean, so there's a lot of restorative dentistry to be done. And at the same time, you have to know your limits too. So, and that's why you need an oral surgeon, you need an orthodontist. So some of these cases are surgical cases on the adult end. But for kids, oh my gosh, screening is just equally as important as catching these kids early. Because I'll get a lot of kids where they're already medicated, and you see the malocclusion later and you're just like, oh gosh, so you're just trying to fix things. But
right now I always ask people this, this problem is not going away, Tracy.
No.
Occlusions aren't just going to naturally start falling into place and things are going to get better. And while the airway conversation, I tell young dentists this when they don't see a future, I'm like, oh my gosh, the airway conversation. And then you talk about inflammation. That's another big topic.
Yeah.
And they have to be related in some respects. And if you've read Beat the Heart Attack Gene or anything, this is such an important topic. What's the future look like for dentists that are in their 30s when it comes to this topic? Are we going to see more and more of this? I mean, it's anyone's guess, but what's your guess?
I hope to see more of it. Right. I mean, I hope that we become a field that is more integrated in medicine. My hope is that if a medical doctor does a quick exam, they can look at risk factors and refer to the dentist and vice versa, so I hope there would be more communication with the dental community and the medical community, because it's all related. I mean, 100% inflammation, one of the groups that I belong to is the Wellness Network by Doug Thompson. And he does an amazing job with the connection and biomarkers and reducing inflammation, work with medical colleagues. I think that's what's going to separate you from just being an average dentist to a dentist that gets it, that looks at the overall connection, the medical history, the inflammation, and just try to reduce the signs and symptoms.
Yeah.
You saw the risk factors.
Yeah. We've had Doug on. He is awesome.
Yes.
Fantastic. Some of the stuff I'm like, wait a minute, go back and say that again.
Yes. You get him. He'll nerd out on all these biomarkers. Wait a minute.
It's fantastic. Now I want to talk about your personal mission in this. You have an awesome educational program. Yeah. And you and I talk, I'm like, I should put your email address up. You're like, no, I don't want to do that. I want you to tell people what you're up to, what you do, and how they can get involved, all that kind of stuff. Can you do that for us?
Yes. ASAP Pathways is an online education program, pretty much geared towards pediatric airway issues. But our pediatric airway issues start from at birth to 18. That being said, we still talk about MSC and expansion. So it kind of goes a little bit over to 21, 25 year olds. But our mission really is get dentists involved. How to communicate with your medical colleagues, because I think that is, you can't go rogue with this. And I think the reason why we started ASAP was there was so much education in pediatric dental sleep medicine, but it was geared towards appliance therapy. And so we're like, wait a minute, that's not what this is. This is not what it's about. It's about everything. It's about talking to the medical colleagues, knowing when they need to get involved, recognizing all the other sleep disorders, and then talking to the orthodontist, talking to the oral surgeon, putting everything involved. Airway is not appliance therapy. It's like the overall health, the body. So that's kind of what ASAP is about. We have about, I think there's about like 40, 50 hours of CE on there. Every month we have a key opinion leader on, and we're just trying to connect all the dots. I think this month we, Kevin Boyd, pediatric dentist, he's going to come on. Next month we have McDonald, the orthodontist that does TMD, which is, and then, you know, McKee. So it's amazing because I think as you get into this rabbit hole, and I call it a rabbit hole, you start to think like everything is like, oh my gosh, all the dentistry that I have been doing, there's an airway component, TMD, airway component. You know, it's just like bruxism, airway component, like broken teeth, broken front teeth, airway component. We're like, crap, how did I miss all of this, you know? And so with kids, you look at all this malocclusion and they're like, it's interesting because people are like, well, you know, it's a genetic component. I was like, yeah, but if their parents have airway issues, then that's an airway component, you know? So it just becomes like, you see an airway in everything almost, like what Jeff was saying, because airways in everything, you know? Right. It's so true.
Yeah. And so people are chiming in on Facebook right now. And somebody said, it's always airway, you know, and last week I had John Cranham on. We were talking about, you know, dry mouth and how we're like, you know, I don't care how great your restorative dentistry is. Xerostomia is still a challenge. Well, that's involved with airway. People aren't breathing through their nose anymore. Mm-hmm. And you can appreciate this too. I was at Seattle Study Club Symposium years ago and Jeff's like, you got to start breathing through. And I mean, this is probably 5-6 years ago. So he gave me this tape and he's like, I want you to put it over your mouth. And my wife was like, I think you could die with that. I'm like, no, Jeff said it's okay. So I started taping my mouth shut and it was like, crazy how powerful that was when you start to breathe through your nose. So it's all connected in that respect. Now, I don't want you to give it all away, but this presentation that you're doing for the AACD, like take us down the path. What are you going to be teaching when you say, could it be airway? What are you going to teach people?
So it's interesting because I think a lot of people associate with me with peds. Like they're like, oh yeah, you know, I don't do pediatric dentistry, you know, and, you know, like basically I just have to do more ortho and that's what airway is about. It's like, no, that's not really what airway is about. So I'm going to come from it from a restorative cosmetic side and look at your treatment planning and how I've done things a little bit differently from a restorative side. That's going to be my approach, why we all should be thinking this and it should be a part of your everyday practice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think people just have to get started. And Dr. Mark Murphy was on a couple of weeks ago. He's like, listen, this is such an important thing. You can't learn how to swim by watching a YouTube video. You just got to jump in. Conversations. And I completely agree. And it's amazing what we learn along this way. Now, Tracy, I am so grateful. We're going to have you back again and again. I want, you know, for the benefit of people that are listening, how do I find out more about ASAP? And then how do I follow you or how do I find out more about you? Because I know people are going to want to reach out to you and find out, you know, how do I get involved more in what you're doing?
Yeah. ASAP is easy. It's www.asappathways.com. We actually have we have screening forms on there for you too. So you could just go in there and I think there's a click link on there that for forms or screening forms. Actually in 2 weeks, I think it's April 16th and 17th, we're doing a 2-day course online, and we're just going to dive into like the fundamentals of sleep. Like, what is sleep? What do you need to understand? And how can dentistry impact it? And then screening and data collection. So it's really like nuts and bolts. This is what you need to know. So that's going to be awesome. That's 2 days and 2 weeks, April 16th and 17th. Everything else, I'm constantly posting things on Facebook and Instagram, kind of what I'm doing, articles that I read. So I'll do little blogs and my little opinions about different articles and how dentistry can get involved. One of the things I want to say is what I got. So I'm educated at the Coice Center. So one of the things I love about John Coice is he breaks everything down as risk management. And so that's kind of how I see Airway. I don't see us as like fixing everybody. I see us as almost like through dentistry, how can we reduce everybody's risk of developing airway problems? So, but yeah, you can just message me on Facebook. It's funny because, you know, you had my email and I was like, yeah, I'm that girl with 51,000 emails. It's so bad. I'm like, I might not get to it, but
You can always get on there. You just made me feel better because I don't know how many I have, but it's up there. I don't know. It's 51,000. I shouldn't even show you how many texts I have that aren't open. So yeah, I agree with you. There's always a way to communicate with somebody somehow, some way. So I'm going to encourage people to check that out. Also, too, if you're listening just through the audio podcast, we're going to write all these notes up. So you'll see all of Tracy's information, how to follow her on the different social platforms, and then information about your course. So I'm going to encourage people to check that out. And Tracy, I'm going to voluntold you for this. Is this okay? I'm going to have you come back again and again, because I would love for you just to bring another thing that's just important on this subject or anything that you want to cover. I have no doubt you're going to be an incredible educator for dentistry for years and years to come. So thank you for being on the show. I really, really appreciate
it. Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for watching the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, which I know you did, just do us a favor, hit the share button, share it with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see from the show, whether it be from Tracy or others, and we will line them all up in the weeks to come. And until we see you guys next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.